If this was possible, could you imagine someone flying up to heaven and secretly entering the New Jerusalem and sneaking into the throne room of God and stealing some of the gold from those golden streets? Can you imagine that? Are people today down here stealing or robbing from God? You are about to find out, so don't go anywhere. Welcome again to another program from White Horse Media. This is part four of a seven-part series called God, Satan, Money, and You. We are dealing with the big issue of our money, our funds, what we do with our money, whether we're being selfish with our money or whether we are being generous and giving to God's work. And this particular program, number four, is called Are You Robbing God? And if by chance you missed the first three, or maybe you will miss the next three, you can go to the White Horse Media YouTube channel and get up to speed. I heard somebody once say, if God can get a hold of a man's wallet, he's got the man. And I think we're going to flesh that out in this particular program. So, Rob and Paul, welcome again. Thank you for being part of this. It's been quite a journey, and we've got more to do. What we're going to talk about today is an issue that I really used to have not a whole lot of real deep interest in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that probably there are many people that have zero interest in the topic of tithes and offerings. But from God's perspective, it's a big issue. Yes. And we're going to look at this. But before we go to Malachi, which is the main text in the Old Testament, we want to start with a verse in the New Testament, which is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And I think the reason why I want to start here is because many people, I'm sure, think that giving tithes and offerings, because this is something that's talked about in the Old Testament, that maybe that doesn't really apply to Christians today because that's for the Jews, it's not for the church. You think people think that way?
I think some people might think that way.
I think so. I think there's a lot of that. So who wants to read verse 23, Matthew 23:23?
Go ahead.
Okay, Rob?
Verse 23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Mm.
Okay, so here this is Jesus himself, and he's talking, he's actually rebuking the Pharisees, which were religious, very religious Jewish people. And they were paying their tithe, weren't they?
They were. On every little thing, right?
Yeah, on their herbs, little things, but what were they not doing?
They weren't meting out justice to widows
and
people who were probably on the lower echelon of, you know, in their society, they took advantage of people and
they weren't showing mercy too, right?
Yeah. That's right. So they were concerned about the little things. Mm-hmm. They did pay tithe because the Old Testament talked about tithe. But they were neglecting, Jesus said, the weightier matters, which was justice and mercy and God's love and having faith. Yep. So, and a lot of people think today, well, as long as we focus on faith and love and Jesus and those things, we don't really need to concern ourselves with the little things like tithing. Mm. But Jesus is not saying that, because at the end of verse 23, he said, these things you ought to have done, referring to the big things. Yep. But then he said, and not to leave the other undone.
That's right.
Right, so these are the words of Christ. And he said, don't leave the other undone. And that's referring to the tithe, tithes and offerings.
Don't you think, Steve and Paul, we as human beings tend to minimize what is minor? That's a minor thing. It's not a salvation issue. You hear these kind of words that float around sometimes. And, you know, the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who discounted those little things that really were the big things.
Right. And if you think about a marriage, you know, it's the little things make a marriage. It's the little attentions, the little words, the little affections. So little things are very important. And as you mentioned, Jesus said, he who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Yes. So let's go to Malachi, because this is Malachi chapter 3, because this is really the
crux.
The main, yeah, this is the crux of the matter. Verses 8 to 12 is the classic statement or statements from the prophet Malachi, from God speaking through him to his people. And this is right before the end of the Old Testament. So this is like the last couple of pages. So Paul, why don't you just start out and let's just dissect this.
Okay.
Start out with verse 8.
Verse 8, okay. The Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings."
Right. So it seems like the question he's asking is like, it's almost, it's incredible to think. Malachi is saying,
is it possible
that a man can rob God? I mean, we think there's a lot of robbers today. People carjack, people break into homes, people embezzle money. They steal in lots of different ways, breaking into stores and markets. We've seen images on the news of people just, you know, breaking down the windows and going in and carrying out television sets. And and here's, this is talking about robbery as well, but we're not talking about robbing man.
Talking about robbing God.
Yeah, robbing God. And so what does this mean that people can actually, you know, sneak up to the Lord and pickpocket out of his pocket, or is he talking about something else?
Steve, we have a little clue in verse 7, because it says, "Yet that from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and not kept them." So we have a little clue already that certain things that God has put in place, they
That's
have ignored.
Right. Good point. So he asked the, it's almost a rhetorical question, will a man rob God? And then he says, "Yet you have robbed me." And then the people respond, or he's putting the words in the people's mouth. And he said, "But you say, wherein have we robbed you?" And so the people are saying,
"We don't understand."
Yeah, we don't understand. How can we rob God? We're not robbing God. Yeah. And then Malachi clarifies that the robbery is in tithes and offerings.
So I think, Steve, it's important for us to understand what tithe really is.
Yeah, why don't you clarify that?
So
what does that word mean?
Well, the tithe actually means a tenth, right? The first time we see a reference to tithe in the scriptures in Genesis 14, where Abram, actually his name was at the time, paid tithes to Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, this word Salem means peace. So this was the king of peace, right? So this Melchizedek was kind of a type of Christ, wasn't he? And in Psalm 76, verse 2, Salem and Zion, those two names, Salem and Zion, are used interchangeably. And in Revelation 14, verse 1, talks about Zion. It refers to the word Zion as the kingdom of God, or the place where God's people dwell. So the tithe, therefore, to me, means a tenth, which is meant for providing for God's people, or more specifically, for God's church.
And in the Old Testament, the tribes that went into the land, the Levites didn't have their own property.
That's right.
And they took care of the temple. Mm-hmm. And so God's plan was for the other tribes to give a tenth of all of their increase of their cattle, or their, I don't know if it was their cattle, but it was their produce, whatever goods they had, probably some money too.
Because the Levites didn't get the inheritance.
Right. So they were supposed to give a tenth of what they had to the Levites, so the Levites could then continue to serve the temple, to serve God. So the Levites were like the ministers.
They were, yeah.
And so in New Testament times, we give our tithe or our tenth of our income to support
God's work.
Right, to support God's ministers, who that's how they live. Mm-hmm. When I used to be a pastor in a number of conferences, I got my paycheck, and my paycheck came through the conference, and it was my tithe. Now, in our church, we have a different system. Many churches, they pay their tithe or their offerings, and that money goes directly to the pastor who pastors a church. But in our church, it goes to the conference, and then the conference distributes that money in the form of the salaries of the ministers.
That's right. So a lot of people don't understand that portion of it either. The tithes and offerings are a little bit different, and it does talk about tithes and offerings in verse 8.
Right, both. And it says that people are robbing God in both of them. Mm-hmm. So that means that God doesn't just want us to give tithe. He also wants us to give our offerings.
That's right.
So what do the offerings go for?
So the offering is above and beyond the tithe. As you mentioned, the tithe goes to the operating, what I call the operating budget of the conference, goes to pay the salaries of the ministers and so forth.
Okay.
But the offerings might go to the local church to support operating the
church budget.
The church budget. It might go to different conference ministries or different
projects
or reaching the local communities and so forth. So that offering is equally important, really, as the tithe.
That's right. Rob, you were reading a book recently, and you told me a little story that you read in the book that illustrates the difference between the tithes and the offerings.
I'm trying to remember what story that was.
It's about that little girl.
Oh, the little girl, yes. So what was interesting about, you know, children are innocent, and we can learn a lot from children, and this mother gave her daughter 10 cents. And I'm sure that the mother was training this little girl in the subject we're talking about, in tithes and offerings and returning. And so she took those 10 pennies that she was given to her mother, and the first penny is for Jesus, and the second penny is for mommy, and the third penny is for daddy. And so she went down the list with her pennies, and she gets to the last one, and she says, and this one's for Jesus. And the mother says, well, you've already given one to Jesus. And the little girl says, well, the first penny I gave, Jesus owns that one. This one here is a gift, the tenth one. And so often we forget that the tithe is something that belongs to God, and our free will offerings are gifts of our what we want to, you know, return to God from our hearts.
Right. And I think we all want to stress a very important point, and that is that the reason and the motivation for us to give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord's work is ultimately because of how good God has been to us.
Right.
Yes. There's a verse that I looked at recently in Acts, and I think this is the big picture. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 25, it's talking about God, and it says, He gives, He's a giver. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Mm. So God is by nature a giver. He surrounds us with good things. He sends the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He gives rain on the just and the unjust. He beats our hearts. He moves our blood. He makes our brains work and every good thing we have. And then if you think about the bigger picture, ultimately God loves us so much that He gave the greatest gift.
Jesus Christ.
That's right, Jesus, that could ever be given. And Jesus didn't just give 10% of His life to us.
He
didn't just give a tithe and an offering. His offering was His whole being.
There was nothing more He could have given.
That's right, He gave everything. He shed His blood, He paid the price for our sins, and God did that to save us because He loves us, and ultimately He wants to get a hold of our hearts,
right.
And He wants to change our hearts so that we see Him as a God of love, and then we want, not because we're required to do it primarily, but because we want to respond to His goodness, and we want to be givers. We want to give our tithe to help His work advance through the ministers.
Right.
We want to give our offerings to help His work advance in many different ways. People give their offerings to White Horse Media. I give my offerings, some of my offerings to a prison ministry, United Prison Ministries, People of Peru Project, Impact Hope, helping kids in Rwanda. And we all have different ministries that we support. But I'm excited these days to be able to earn an income and to be able to give my tithes and my offerings. And I have a confession to make. I think I've told both of you this, that for many years, I pay tithe off of my net instead of my gross. I heard a minister once in Wichita, Kansas, and he talked about this, and he said, should we pay our tithes from our net or our gross? And then he said, well, that depends on if you want a gross blessing or a net blessing. And I heard that, and I felt like, well, you know, it's really up to me. And money, I've never been rich, and money's kind of been tight, and I felt like, you know, my net. And I also interpreted the verse that said, you give a tithe from your increase, and I interpreted my increase to be the money that actually came into my bank. So that was my net. But recently, I've been convicted, especially as I've been doing more research for my finance course and for this whole series. The Lord has just convicted me that He wanted me to pay for my gross instead of my net. And so at the beginning of this year, I made a decision that I was going to do that first time. And
praise the Lord.
And as I start, the first time I did that, amazingly, I had a significant amount of extra funds after I had paid my bills, my tithes and my offerings that I could put into my emergency fund. And then right after that, I went to I have a new tax preparer. And rather than paying quite a bit, which I've done in the past, to the government, she told me that she was going to amend three of my returns. She didn't think they had been done right by my previous, my tax preparer. And that she said, I'm hoping that you're going to get a good size refund. And I thought about that and I thought, wow, you know, maybe this is the Lord's blessing, because I'm expanding my giving and God wants to give me more so I can give more.
That's right. Yeah.
Steve, you know, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And naturally, what are we?
Selfish.
And so God has a remedy. He knows that, you know, regular, systematic giving will starve selfishness and covetousness to death. And I have learned, as someone who's participated in this tithing and offering, that God is generous.
Yeah,
that He just wants to remind me of where all this comes from.
Right.
And it's not as if He needs the money. It's not as if it says He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the gold and silver. And so He just wants to partner with me. I remember the story of Jacob when he was running from his brother Esau, and he has that interchange with God. And it's interesting, at the end of that interchange, if the Lord will be with me, then I'm going to make a vow, and surely all that I have, I will give thee a tenth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the natural conversion process when a Christian comes to an understanding that God loves them and what He has paid the price, you know, of being on a cross, paying the penalty we can never pay. You know, Lord, what can I do?
That's right.
How can I, you know, be of service to You?
That's right. Praise the Lord.
When we think of the tithes and offering, and the purpose of it is to advance the spread of God's Word, right, through the church, through the local church, it's not unreasonable. We don't think it's unreasonable to pay our taxes. Well, some people might, but overall it's not.
Yeah.
Is it unreasonable to pay to support the church's work? No, not at all.
Right.
What a better way to use our money to advance the kingdom of God.
That's right. And really,
and be a part of it.
And be a part of it.
It's an investment. In the next program, we're going to talk about the issue of investing. Should Christians invest? And as I've thought about this, giving our tithes and giving our offerings to advance God's work is investing.
It is.
We're investing in the Lord's kingdom.
That's right.
And God is going to bless us. And if we keep reading, let's keep going through Malachi.
Okay.
The next verse is pretty strong. After God says that people have been robbing Him in tithes and offerings, verse 9, He says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed Me, even this whole nation.
Mm.
So that's a very pointed text, that if they're, for those people, because they were selfishly withholding their tithes and offerings, God says, you are cursed with a curse. That's a pretty strong text.
Yeah, it is.
And then verse 10 says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in My house, and prove Me now herewith, or test Me, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God promises that if we test Him and if we're faithful, we don't rob Him, but if we give from an unselfish heart in response to what He has given to us, He will bless us in bigger ways than we can even imagine.
You know, Steve, that reminds me of a story that happened over 100 years ago. All of us know the K-E-R-R canning jars.
Yeah.
Ruth and Alexander Kerr, I guess is the way to say it,
mm-hmm.
they started that company. But what's interesting is in 1902, he was in Portland, Oregon, is where this all started, and he was in debt. He borrowed money. But in 1902, he decided to return the tithe. And he got the glass supply works to help supply his business. 1906 comes along, and in 1906, for most who remember, in San Francisco was the great earthquake. And most of the business around him was collapsed and destroyed, and yet his was still standing.
Wow.
And so when you think about the KERR canning jar brand is still with us today, I wonder how much it has to do with his decision back then to return.
That's a good story, Rob. I've heard from many, many people who shared with me their testimony where they struggled with not being able to pay tithe, made the decision to do it anyways. And the story was always positive. It's
always
telling me a blessing. I've never had anyone say, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had that money back. I've never heard that said.
Yeah.
And that's true in my own testimony.
Yeah, and me too. And for as the more I think about this and the more I learn and the deeper this gets in my heart, I realize that we're really stewards.
We're stewards.
Yes. We're stewards
right.
of
Managers.
the Lord's goods. Right. The money that we make, everything that we have really is ultimately God's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't require us to give it all away.
Mm-hmm.
He requires a portion, and then he still says the rest of it's mine and use it wisely. Be a good manager. But it's really it's a wonderful thing to realize, to have a shift of thinking that I am God's steward of his resources, and he gives me the ability to earn an income.
Sure.
And when my income comes to me that he gave me the strength to earn, I have the privilege of taking a portion of that and giving it in my tithes to help the ministers and my offerings to help advance God's work. Mm-hmm. And really, if people around the world, if God's people everywhere, if we were all giving our tithes and offerings, there'd be plenty of money to advance the Lord's work, and a lot more people would be saved.
They'd be happier too, because when we participate, God blesses us. And when we see that, you brought up this story in another program, Steve, about the Dead Sea versus the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
You know, when the difference between those two seas is the Sea of Galilee has an entry point and an exit point.
Right. Water comes in and water goes out.
The Dead Sea only has one way in.
Water comes in, it doesn't go out.
It takes. Sea of Galilee gives.
Yeah.
That's right. That's a good point.
I like the motto, 9/10 with God's blessing versus 10/10 without it. I'll go to 9/10.
That's right.
And we remember that it all belongs to God, right? The 10%, the tithe, is wholly consecrated unto God, yes.
Holy to the Lord.
But 100% of it really belongs to God. And he allows me to manage 90% of it. So God's the one being generous here, right? When I give my tithe back, he's the one being generous.
That's right.
He's allowing me to manage 90% of it.
That's right.
Right.
And again, if we're faithful in that which is least, Jesus said, we'll be faithful in much. Now, notice also in verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse.
Mm.
There's been some debate in our church about where is that storehouse. And some people feel like, well, you know, some of the leaders of the church are not being faithful. They're not using money wisely. They're not standing up for truth. If some of them are not doing that, then we should maybe give our tithes somewhere else.
Mm.
And I've done a lot of thinking about that. And the storehouse is not just any place you choose to send your money.
That's right.
The storehouse goes back to the Old Testament in different places. And one text is in Genesis 41:56, where Joseph, during the good years, he told the Egyptians to bring their grain, some of their grain, into the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the 7 years of famine,
they
all came to Joseph. And it says in verse 56 that he opened the storehouse and he distributed the grain to the Egyptians. So the storehouse is a place of distribution.
Right.
It's not just a place that you pick. And so I know the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest, and some leaders in the church are not faithful, but there are many that are.
Yeah.
And I've decided that I'm going to give my tithes to our conference, our Upper Columbia Conference in our area. I'm going to advance God's work that way and trust the Lord. And from there, the funds get distributed to the ministers. And that's God's plan.
It's easy for us to second guess God or think that we know better. You know, I make that same decision, Steve and Paul, based on the widow with the two mites.
Ah, good story.
That tells me that in Jesus' day, the religious leaders were corrupt. She brings her two mites. She puts it in. Jesus could have said, you know, yeah, I wonder why you're doing
this. You should give it to somebody else.
He didn't say that. Mm.
That's right.
He said, you know, that this woman was faithful and had given more than they all put together.
That's right. He supported her, giving her little bit into
even to a corrupt
treasury that was inside that temple.
Steve, one other thing. In Leviticus 27:30, real quick, it says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. And it ends, it is holy to the Lord. Anything that's holy to the Lord is not something that I believe that we can humanly change. When God says something is holy, that is a sacred thing that He's in charge of, and He'll take care of it all.
That's
He'll weed out all those
things. That's right. We shouldn't meddle with it. Here's a few quick statements from Councils on Stewardship, page 93. The tithe is sacred, reserved by God for Himself. Here's page 95. God cannot bless those who are robbing Him. Wow. And then here's one more, page 86, it says, 87, there are many who will not be blessed until they make restitution of the tithe which they have withheld. God is waiting for you to redeem the past. So God wants us to even look back, and if we haven't been faithful, He wants us to make that right.
It's a serious issue with God.
Yeah, so there's a lot of quotes in this book. We're going to make this book available, Councils on Stewardship from Whitehorse Media, if you are interested in getting this book. We also have a website called growyourmoneywithgod.com that has a lot of resources on it. It actually has a whole financial course plus free resources. We hope that you'll check that out and encourage that it will encourage you to think more seriously about your giving, about tithes and offerings, and about just financial management as a whole. It's the devil who doesn't want us to give to God's work. The devil wants us to be selfish and to hold our hands and not be a giver, but to be a taker. But God is a giver. He's given us everything. He gave us Jesus Christ, and He wants us to give back to Him. And if we do, He says, we will be blessed.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, The 666 Beast Identified, What It Means to You, identifies both the beast and his strange number, 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from Whitehorse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this Whitehorse Media production. To support Whitehorse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to Whitehorse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho, 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. Whitehorse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. To learn more, visit WhitehorseMediaBibleschool.com. You'll be glad you did.